Hey everybody, this is Chico Alexander here at GSNN World Headquarters in New York / Raleigh with a bit of breaking news. Usually when we start with breaking news, it's bad, but this time, it's good?
It's really bad.
Well, it's bad for Gordon, but it's good for me. Fox is bringing back a third run of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And guess
who
they
got?
Because it's
fine.
Okay, two things. One, MasterChef Junior is getting the numbers, and two, Utopia isn't.
Why?
I know you
love
it. I'll
do my Nancy Kerrigan impersonation. Why?
No, Gordon, can we get the serious analysis? Is this a good move or a bad move for Fox?
It is a desperate move for Fox. And part of the reason why I say that is because, yeah, their game shows, if you plan seriously, their game shows do good. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Obviously, one of Fox's bigger hits within that realm. And being that game shows have a renaissance, that's not a bad move, especially because that is a very cheap show to make.
It is a cheap show to make.
And they haven't announced either tape dates or broadcast dates, but the news came out tonight. And, of course, Jeff Foxworthy is coming back to host. But let's also call reality a reality here. Remember many years ago when the show first came out, we talked about the problems with the casting of the children. Remember we had an anonymous person here who talked about that.
People thought that the casting was fake. And that the real fifth graders aren't really answering the questions, and they're probably right on that.
So we don't know what's going to be about that, but how, you know, put it to you this way, are we talking maybe January, or do you think this could be a holiday run thing? Or
it's got to be, and let's put it this way, if you're killing Utopia, they're not going to wait till January.
No, they're not going to wait till
January. I think you'll see this happen during the holidays.
New episodes or reruns or both?
Well, they're saying it's coming back, but it's got to be new episodes.
Yeah, it's going to be new episodes, and frankly, I don't think they're going to sit on it until summer. I think somewhere in the middle of the season you're going to see it. May not be January, but it'll definitely be before summer. Remember, Utopia was supposed to last a year. It barely lasted 2 months.
Yes, but you guys have to remember something. In terms of the show itself, most of the production for set is there. It's not like they're going to change the rules or much of the gameplay. So it actually can be set up fairly easily and quickly.
You can have a really quick turnaround time with everything, as long as everything is available. But this is something we will talk about more as, you know, developments warrant. But right now, it is the 6th of November, 2014. Where did this year go, my friends? Got so much to talk about, so let's get to it. From somewhere in America, I am Groot.
No,
WLTI Live is on.
The following program is a CLW83.com production.
Once again, Chico Alexander here with my left-hand man, or my right-hand man, depending on what picture you're looking at, Mr. Gordon Pepper. How you doing, Gordon?
I would have been voting for Groot for president, by the way, over anybody that we currently have that's running.
Aww. I'm disappointed that Clay Aiken lost, too.
What, just for the humor value, or what?
Exactly. Well, I happened to have worked for Renee Elmers back when she was a nurse. I don't know one person that likes her.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. But we do have a lot to talk about. But hey.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to introduce the guy talking right now, the strength and conditioning coach of WLTI Live, the world's strongest game show podcast, Mr. Jason Block.
good to be here. Good to be here for all. You know, it's always fun to be here in the Nut House.
All right. As you were saying, we have a lot to talk about, so let's get to it with a little round of Let's Make a Deal. Playing the role of Wayne Brady, one Jeff Probst.
What? Wait.
Follow me here.
Okay.
Follow me here. Okay, let's start with Jeff Probst and Let's Make a Deal, because sometimes during the game, tribes do silly things. Colby Donaldson single-handedly wrecked a pot of food, so he had to trade in his Texas flag for a stipend of rice, which happened season 2. Similar events occurred this week. Isn't that right, Gordon?
Yes, it is. I mean, one of the things about the game itself is that Jeff has always decided to offer trades to teams that need them. However, the price is usually really, really severe. In this case, the reward, or in this case, the salvage, was to make up for the loss of something that they didn't have, which is good. The price tag is all luxury necessities gone. That came back to bite them in the immunity challenge when they lost, and the whole deal came back to bite Dale, who was one of the people in charge of it, and now got to be hoisted by his own petard out of the competition.
And you also notice, if you watch, when Probst is involved with that, he's the evil mastermind in this. It's beautiful to watch how he does what he does with this.
This is why he got the Emmy, friends, for being a manipulative you-know-what.
Yes, but now let's look at the tribes before the merge. You have two mentalities. You have the people that are missing their partner because they've been eliminated, and so one train of thought is to get rid of those people, and then there's another train of thought, which is to knock out one person of the pair that are currently in play, which is a very smart move, because if you're in the final two, if you're in the final three with both of them, you're going to be in trouble in terms of getting to the final two, assuming that there is one.
I'm just asking this, do we go even further, or we just talk about what happened this week as well, because things got even interesting this week, or do we save that for another podcast, Mr. Chico?
Well, tell me what the interesting thing is.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is that this week we had a quitter.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, on this week, I believe her name was Julie.
Julie,
yes.
Yeah. Julie, at the merge, she hid a bunch of, what was it, trail mix, if I remember correctly?
Right.
And put it in her bag to hoard the food. And remember, a lot of people had not eaten because of the rice incident.
Right.
So they found the food, and they and the tribe actually just housed the food. I mean, they stole the food from her. Now I watched this, and I was just like, really? Not on her side, but the tribe's side. Why are you going through her stuff? You know, that was a little bit off to me. A little bit. But then...
Well, all fair and love and tribal council, so to speak.
So to speak.
And, you know, you're always looking for that edge. Do I think it was the smartest thing to do? No. Do I think there's rules about that? Probably. But the fact of the matter is that's what they did, and they found the rice. Julie, of course, found this out when she found out that they were making fun of her. So she said, you know what? I'm taking my ball. I'm going home. I'm out.
Yes, because...
The fact of the matter is that she would have been out anyway.
Oh, I think she would have been gone no matter what.
I think so, too. And part of it is, again, who she was paired with to begin with. And remember, Julie McGee is John Rocker's girlfriend.
Right.
And they have said from day one that they have not been apart for more than 4 days. She is very, you know, she always struck me as very thin-skinned, very kind of, and I hate, you know, sports figures hate it when you use the word soft. Julie was soft.
Yes, no, that's an accurate description. And the thing is that, I honestly didn't believe a word of what she said. That's the thing. I don't believe it. I think that she was using the fact that she supposedly was away from John for four, you know, not more than 4 days. I don't believe her. I think she knew that she was out and she quit. This was Dalton-esque, by the way. If you really,
but at that same point, though, you know, when the game's over, the game's over.
Yes.
You know, whether you quit or you get voted out, the result's still the same.
Yes, I understand. But the thing is that I think people respect you less if you quit. That's just all. That's just what I'm saying. And we'll see where the merge and where that quitting takes the tribes, because it's going to be real interesting. What do you see?
I think we see some different dynamics over at The Amazing Race, which is what I see. Let's move over and let's go to Morocco. Who likes Morocco?
I do.
I like Morocco, and apparently, if you're listening to Russell Howard, so does Ebola.
Oh, jeez.
You have to look it up on YouTube. But anyway, we're continuing in Morocco, where the teams have to find a marked hay stand, stack the hay, and feed the horses, Tony, which took them back to where they were an apple. Then they drove themselves to a pottery stand to find the roadblock, which was camp or cream. Jason?
Yes.
Oh, baby.
Yes, camp or cream. Well, a camp, you have to build a Berber's tent, which was not easy if you looked at, you had to build it to the exact specifications. We're talking rugs, tea, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Cream, you had to milk a goat to the line in the bowl and then churn 3 ounces of goat butter in a goat bladder. Okay. Then they had to drive themselves to a park where they had to bridge cross and zip line to a location, solve a framed double-sided puzzle, then zip back and head to the pit stop, which I believe was called Kasbah Dif, if I remember the name correctly.
Kasbah Dif, yes. Okay. And, of course, again, Shelly and Nikki didn't like it. They couldn't rock the Kasbah. So they're going home.
Right, because they got lost at the pottery stand and just couldn't make up the time.
Just out of curiosity, what roadblock would you guys have done?
I would have done the cream, because, yes, it's physically exhausting, but at the same time, it's straightforward. You milk a goat and you make butter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, it looked actually like the most physical thing. It would have been a little gross and disgusting, but if you're not a country person, but hey, you know, why not? I would have done that.
Well, it would have been gross, but I also think that it would have been quick.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're getting at, because, again, it's physically exhausting, but at the same time, it's straightforward.
Yes. I mean, we've had goats and sheep in this thing. I mean, who knows where this is going to go next? I mean, seriously. But,
I'm not touching that one.
No, we're not, but,
okay.
Yeah, and usually I'm the one that gets caught in a double entendre, by the way. So
the show is still young, my friend.
Yeah, so, and by the way, like I said, I learned from the best, Gordon. Trust me. You taught me well. But
are you trying to get my goat?
No, I'm not trying to get your goat, no. But what I am trying to do is tell that our good friends, the bodybuilding dentists, Misty and Jim, are going to Brazil. Because they were the ones who were in first. It's going to be very interesting what do we have? Because they just because we got about 5 episodes left. I see one non-elimination leg coming really soon.
Well, you got one or two, depending on when or if the free pass is being used.
Yes. Yep. I was just about to get that, because the Amazing Save is still in play. And Misty and Jim, I believe, are in possession of it still, and they have not yet had to use it.
Right.
But just remember one takeaway from this episode. If you milk a billy goat in Morocco, it'll get you 5 to 10.
Ounces of milk, yeah.
Milk a billy goat, Jason.
Oh, whoops. Never mind, yes.
Okay, right after the show, Jason and I are going to have a biology lesson.
Yeah,
we have 2 game shows that are on right now. Now we're going to review 4 that have just come down the pike. And we're going to be quick about it because, well, again, 1, 2, 3, 4. First one is called Hairjacked. And if you've ever seen Cash Cab or The Substitute, it's kind of like that, right down to the host.
Well, the host is John Gabris, who is IHESN and personal favorite. In terms of the play of the show, I would say it's a little bit like Cash Cab. If you get too many questions wrong, obviously you're walking. This, you can imagine what's going to happen in a hair salon. Except in this case, it's a little bit different because you have people actually competing against each other.
Yeah.
So, Chico, take it away.
Right. You have two people competing against each other. They're there for a haircut, and they're going to get their haircut. You know, either way, they're going to get their haircut. You start with a warm-up round where you don't even know you're on television. Then, next thing you know, you have 3 rounds of questions, and the player with the most points at the end of those 3 rounds gets $5,000 and a shot to double it in the bonus round, where you have to match 5 answers with 5 subjects. You do that correctly, $10,000. If you don't do that correctly, you'll still get the 5, but you're also going to get the Hairjacked do of the day, which could be anything from a forehead mustache to the 4th of July. These are trained professionals doing the haircuts, by the way. They know what they're doing.
Do not try it at home.
Do not try this at home. You could walk away with the $5,000, and if you do choose to walk away with the $5,000 without playing the bonus, then your opponent could score $2,500 by voluntarily getting hairjacked.
Which, of course, they'll usually do.
Yeah.
To me, it's a forgettable show, but the best part about it is John Gabris. John Gabris really needs a vehicle to break out. We've seen him in, what, 3 shows now?
We've seen him in The Substitute. We have 3 shows.
Okay. He needs a vehicle that really will get him to the next level. This isn't it, but it's going to be. You know what I'm saying? It's going to get him into the public eye. But, that's the only reason I'm giving this, I believe, a C.
Yeah.
I like this more than you did. I do like the Hairjacked a lot. I also think that the show is really played. I mean, yeah, there's trivia, there's competition. But I really think that the game is played for laughs. Gabris is, of course, very good. He plays the part extremely well. The format does get repetitive. However, the Hairjacked at the end is fun, and that always is original. So I'm going to go a little bit higher than you. I'm going to go B-.
I am going to agree with Gordon. Yes, it is verse, chorus, verse, and it gets repetitive and forgettable after a while. But John Gabris is a breakout talent. The game is pretty solid. If you're not a fan of flash quizzes or fat comedians with 5 o'clock shadows, you won't be a fan of this. But for the rest of us, it's a solid B-.
You know you like the Hairjacked part.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty funny. Okay, will you agree with me, Gordon, that another true TV series is even more forgettable than this?
Well, I mean, this is not a bad show, so there's definitely other series out there that are forgettable. However, I believe that you are referring to Fake Off.
I am referring to Fake Off, which has 3 judges, Chili from TLC, Harry Shum from Glee, and some other guy I don't even remember, judging performance artists competing to recreate some of America's greatest moments.
This reminds me, honestly, of an older show, and Gordon, I'm aging myself here for this.
You always do.
very nice.
You're going for it. That's one of your Republicans.
It reminds me of an old show called Don Adams Screen Tests. Without talent, you know.
Well, it's done on screen test and all set, without the fun and without me being really interested in the show. It's, you know what, it really feels to me like it's a, hey, agents, let's see what we can do for the insects that we've seen before. More camera time, a paycheck, possible tour. You've seen all these guys before. You've seen what they can do and sometimes what they can't do. And it's sort of like that these are the people that are creating stuff. It's weird. You've seen it before. You've seen it done better. The acts deserve more. And just the concept is what fills the show. D, sorry.
Yeah, you know what this reminds me of? Another show on a sister network. I hate to bring this up again. Funniest Wins.
And that would be a loss.
Yeah, that was a B-grade Last Comic Standing. No, I'm being... To call it a B-grade Last Comic Standing would be an insult to B-grade anything.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. What do you got on this one?
I got a D.
At least
America's Got Talent had, you know, a various blend of projects. This has nothing. This has absolutely nothing. It's one of those things that you have to ask, why was this show even made?
Right. D- for me. It's awful. It's just awful. You know?
All right, next show.
Next show, from something unpredictably predictable to something that's just predictable. It's a modeling competition with a Price is Right twist. It's the Price is Right male model search, and it is the search, stay with me here, for a male model for the Price is Right.
Yeah, okay, look. I mean, look, this show is absolutely fine for what it is. It's fluff. It's pasteurized processed cheese food. This is exactly what this is.
It's Velveeta is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it is Velveeta. It is cheese. It is nothing new. C for me.
Okay, yeah, it's nothing new, but you have to admit, it is a show for its time, and it is a show for its growing legion of fangirl audiences. Because okay, you have a bunch of hot guys who are being judged by former beauty queen and TV host Shauna Mochler, current TPIR executive producer and TV host Mike Richards, and, you know, I keep wanting to use the term Barker's Beauties, even though Barker's no longer with the show, but they are officially just the TPIR models.
Carrie's Cuties.
Carrie's Cuties, yeah. Yeah, why not? Anyway, it's a by-the-numbers model search, nothing added or taken away from formula, but you get an understanding of what you have to go through in order to make the story rank. And yes, it helps if you're goofy with no shame.
You know, here's my problem with the show, and my problem with the show, it's not a bad show. Let me start it with it this way. So it's not a problem in there. My problem is that whoever was creating this from the back end clearly was not thinking. This is a Fremantle show, and it's on CBS, and its sister station has this little show called America's Next Top Model. It would have been an absolute slam dunk if you said America's Next Top Model and season whatever and say that you're looking for that, and then maybe you have the models. Try to compete for that in addition to the $100,000.
Yeah, you know what? You know what?
You would have gotten a completely different and younger audience to the show.
Yeah, you know what would be really a really good idea? Just set aside 1 week for like the final five of America's Next Top Model, and you know, just have them model one day after another after another. It would help both shows out.
It would, but we don't create for potential, and we certainly don't create based on us giving ideas to other producers.
Yeah. By the way, patent pending. Anyway, I gave it a B minus. People who watch one show religiously will not tend to watch the other, and Top Model's been on a bit of a downslope, so.
I think this would have been a big boost in the arm for Top Model. I think absolutely Top Model would have benefited from this, and so The Price is Right. Instead, it's an okay show, but it's a little bit boring, and it's a little bit, we've seen it before, and I really think that, you know, not just demystifying what a beauty talent is, but also demystifying the whole pageant thing would have been really, really interesting. And the model thing also in terms of game shows. We don't get that, though, so therefore this gets to stay.
Okay. Finally, much like the babyfication of cartoon characters in the 1980s, we have the juniorification of reality shows now. The newest victim, Project Runway Threads, which is like Chopped, minus one contestant, and minus one round. It's basically taking an entire season of Project Runway, condensing it down to two challenges, and putting it in a self-contained hour every Thursday.
And this is the
One of the big differences on this show is that instead of eliminating people, you're making people win.
Yeah.
Which completely, in this case, changes the timbre of the show. This is what I would like a miniature Hell's Kitchen or miniature MasterChef Juniors to be. Something that brings the contestants' kids upwards and not downwards.
Right. And by the way, the winner of the show, the winner of every episode takes home $25,000.
Right. And here's the thing. You've got credibility with Christian Siriano as one of the judges. Okay?
Right.
He is the most successful... You could say the most successful winner of Project Runway, okay? And to me, I like this show a lot. I really do, because there's no fake drama here. You're just trying to win the money. That's it.
Well, one of the things that I like about the show a lot is exactly what Jay said. It's not about drama. The whole entire show is based on the kids' choices in terms of fashion and why it does or does not work. That's one of the things that makes Project Runway really successful, is that the drama that they have is usually kept to a minimum. And that same minimalist attitude works here as well.
Indeed. And everybody that's involved with the process knows a thing or two about what the process entails. Christian Siriano won the whole shebang a long time ago. And, you know, getting parents involved with their kids' dreams. This is, and excuse me for sounding schmaltzy, but this just plays to a family crowd, which, you know, if you're a fan of Lifetime, you're wondering, hey, what would a family show like this be doing on Lifetime?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of that, but there's so much of the show that works. And I agree with Jay, I do like the show a lot. I give it a B+.
I give it a B+2, but if you ask me, it's a show that knows its audience, but it probably would have worked better on a corporate cousin Disney.
I don't know. I don't know necessarily Disney, but put it to you this way, they did pretty good with this.
Yeah, there's nothing about this show that does not work.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, so. Ooh.
Okay. And now, Jason?
No, but you wanted... Really? Celebrity Name Game is almost done with their episodes already? Really?
Well, it's so far it's aired 67 episodes of a 180-episode order, and it's only been 2 months.
I smell burn-off, and I smell one and done. I really do. All right.
But we're going to talk about... you know, who won what on that show and on other shows. Jason, do you have the clock?
I do.
Is it set for 5.5 minutes?
I do. And it is.
It is time for the fastest 5.5 minutes of game shows. We call it the replay. Start the clock.
Go.
Why not start with Celebrity Name Game, since we're talking about it already, as we have at least two $20,000 winners last week.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Yeah. Okay, next is a pair of games on Jeopardy that end in ties. Ryan Alley, the current champ, is involved in one of them. Final from Friday is Invention. The Clue. This machine was invented in 1929. The government began buying them, to help prevent any more Army Air Corps fatalities.
I'm in.
All right, Jason, what's your response?
What's a flight simulator?
Gordon, what's your response?
I think my answer is much better, by the way.
I think so, too.
What is a Gallifreyan cyber converter?
From Cybus Industries. Look them up in the Yellow Pages.
Yes, yes, exactly. Season
Doctor
8.
Doctor Who series finale this Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. How many saw Missy coming, by the way? No spoilers.
Yeah, day one. Sorry.
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
We're nerds! Okay. Yeah.
On to the feud, sir.
Okay, the Styles are stylish, winning 2 games and $20,630 going into Monday's show. They end up going the distance. They won 5 games. They won their 5th game yesterday, and so did the family in the nightcap. Really rare you have 2 shows with 2 cars given away at the same day. Congratulations to the Styles family. Congratulations to the Squaros family.
On Halloween, Let's Make a Deal gave away 2 cars. Josh the Bug Spray won a $23,000 plus Mustang bobbing for Apple. And Desiree won a Yaris in a coffin. $68,000 plus on Halloween. Okay.
Okay. Right.
On Monday's Wheel this past week, we had Sad Panda, as Lisa Bruno became the first person this season to lose $100,000 in the bonus round, but we gave away $310,000 over the past week, and Wheel right now is in the Hilton Waikoloa Village this week and next. Okay.
Nice. Okay, let's go back to Jeopardy, up to sports variety. Niraj Joshi had a shot to take the top of the board, but played it a bit safe. Still got on the board with this, the category, not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Despite holding a single season batting record for 37 years, this man is not in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Who's Pete Rose?
I wish Jim Williams was here. Gordon!
Yay. First of all, Jay, he's a dumb cat.
It's on.
This was easy. This was easy.
It's easy if you're a Yankee fan. Who is Roger Maris?
That is correct.
Okay, I am ripping up my Yankee Universe card right now, okay?
Maybe next year, Roger, just say.
Mm-hmm.
Jason is an idiot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lynette and Sapriti won $10,000 on Idiot Test, while in a special Democrats versus Republicans version of the show, the Democrats won. That does not mean anything in the long run, but I just thought I'd bring that up for Jason. Congrats to Dina Chimarusi, your new face-off champion. She gets an MVP trophy.
I would give her an MVP for that, wouldn't you?
Wait a minute. Are we still talking about a trophy?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. I know how
a sci-fi trophy.
Okay, sci-fi trophy. That could be anything. Anyway.
Would you like to see my sonic screwdriver? Yes. Anyway, next.
Finally, we have the lineup for live shows on The Voice. Team Adam, Mia Furman, Damian, Chris Jameson, Matt McAndrew, Taylor Phelan. Team Glenn, Anita Antoinette, Brianna Salaz, Ryan Still, Ricky John Williams, Ricky Manning. Team Farrell, Elijah Renee, Danica Sherry, Luke Wade, Sugar Jones, and Gene Kelly. And Team Blake, James David Carter, Reagan James, Taylor Brashears, Jesse Pitts, and Craig Wayne Boyd, a.k.a. I need a good country artist, I need a good country artist.
You're not finding one this year.
You want to stop the clock and then we'll talk about this for a sec?
Let's stop the clock.
And you did it, believe it or not, in 5 minutes flat. No joke.
Nice!
Okay. Let's go back to The Voice Live, Gordon. Who do you think is going to win and why of these?
Who cares?
Oh, okay. Next! Okay.
We will talk more about this later, believe it or not. But right now, Jason, you got the clock. You can hook it up to the Choppler, and let's take this baby for a ride, shall we?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. So, yeah.
The Hams have already taken a vote, and they want a raisin cheese.
Cheese? Why?
Cheese.
It's a motivator. It increases news efficiency and efficacy, whatever that means.
That's political doublespeak.
So is when a Politico opens its mouth and it isn't to eat or burp.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, do you want a spineless mouthpiece for special interests and lobbyists or a spineless mouthpiece for special interests and lobbyists? You're pretty good at this, you know.
God bless you and God bless the United States of America. Gordon, you know what to do.
I do. Let's go find some Republicans.
No.
And let's roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, if you're in southern Mississippi and you want some rock tracks on a Sunday afternoon, hit up Doug Morris. Listen to WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial. Rock 104, Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. Follow him on Twitter at Tracks Productions. Now that we got that out of the way, I need a bat that is legend. Wait for it. Dairy. Legendary.
I'm going to give you a Hedwig and the Angry Inch bat.
Don't give me a hula.
My God, do you look at that
and
bat?
You get a hula, hula.
That bat has more makeup and glitter and wow.
Yep.
It's fabulous.
It is a fabulous bat.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lovely little bat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, it is. It's legend. Wait for it. Still waiting. Fresh off the Tonys, Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Dairy!
Yes.
Legendary!
Uh-huh.
And, some show on CBS, I forgot the name of it. Something about your mother.
Oh, I know. How to Forget to Create a Good Finale.
Oh, yeah!
I didn't say it was good, I just said it made sense, alright? Anyway, Neil Patrick Harris, the one person who we all thought for the last few years should have his own game show, is about to get his own game show. In the form of the American version of Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway. Remember Ant and Dec? They're the Gordon and Chico of British TV hosting.
I've heard of this, but I don't know it. I mean, I've heard Saturday Night Takeaway is sort of pretty popular in Britain for a long time, but what is it?
Well, it's not as big as Sabado Gigante, but it's getting there. I think Chico will be better than I am in terms of explaining it. So, pleasure.
Well, you pretty much nailed it right on the head. It's like it's a variety show in the mold of Sabado Gigante, in that it has comedy bits, musical bits, mini game shows, you know, the whole lot. And somebody is finally taking a chance on it in the U.S.
Mm.
And if anybody can make this work outside of Ant and Dec, I honestly think it's Neil Patrick Harris.
It's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off. But, you know, good grief. If he can do it, he's the guy to do it.
He can do it. More power to him. And I think that he can do it.
Yep. So we'll see.
Okay, so Neil Patrick Harris, some guy we honestly think can do it, had a string of hits as of late, went with Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the Tonys, How I Met Your Mother, the Cube pilot, you know, we won't talk about that. Damn, you minute to win it! If NBC is smart, they'll play the 10 episodes over the summer, maybe complement it with America's Got Talent.
That would be a smart idea, and that would be in our date
that's
book.
That's down the line. What's happening this week?
Well, here's what else is happening in our date book. Because the sweeps is a little bigger than usual. This week we have MasterChef Junior, that's on Tuesday. Kitchen Inferno is on Thursday. We have various sweeps stuff, like Millionaire Has Kids Week, Wheels in Hawaii, Midnight is in New York, History Channel is in Vegas for their season premiere of Pornography.
And that's
just this week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what? I think I really want to go on a trip somewhere. Where are we going?
Let's go to China and a study in irony.
Ooh, okay. What do we got?
Youku Tudo has options for a Chinese version of Big Brother. This could be a true... We could have a true moment here. Let this sink in for a bit. A true moment doesn't need words. Just let it sink in for a bit.
Wow.
Chinese version of Big Brother.
Wow. Yeah. Enough said.
Got that yet? Okay. That was a little bit cerebral. Gordon, please drag us back to the obscene. Why don't you?
I'll drag you back to stupidity. Now, this week was supposed to be another Amanda Bynes' Looney compilation. However, we got a last second, or maybe I should say 11th hour nominee.
Would you say 11 hours, 59 minutes, and 59 seconds?
I could say that, as a matter of fact. Are you smarter than Artie Lang, who got himself unbooked to be on the Midnight episodes this week based on a set of not safe for work Twitters on his fantasies with ESPN...
host. She's a host.
Well, she's a host, and she sort of called her a hoe.
Yeah,
in this case, I believe her name is Carrie Chapman.
Champion. Yeah, oh boy.
Carrie Champion, she hosts First Take with Screaming Head and other Screaming Head.
Right.
Yeah, we are not going to go into the details of those tweets, nor would we even if we could, because, you know...
We're gentlemen, believe it or not.
Believe it or not, we are gentlemen, but I will say this.
Somewhat.
Google it, kids.
It's not very good. It's not good for anybody involved, and we can only say that we hope that this goes away. Just like everything else should, and do not press send.
Don't press send.
No. Next up in terms of hater aid, something that we see coming, that we have seen coming, and that Utopia will no longer see coming, which is airtime. Utopia has gone the way of the dodo. It was supposed to be on a whole year. It fell around 10 months short of that.
Are we shocked at this?
No.
Not at all.
Now, in terms of Anne Burrell, her Chef's Wanted show is no longer wanted.
Aww. They needed Curtis Stone, dang it!
Yeah, well...
Brains.
But speaking of zombies, if you had Manhattan Love Story in your 2014 Fall Deadpool first, come up and claim your prize!
Okay.
Also, we have A to Z, Bad Judge, and...
That's about it. That's about it for now. Yeah. But don't
for now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep in mind that Selfie is still alive.
That's only until Karen Gillan gets the time off to work on the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel.
She'll get a lot of time because that will be canceled in January or something. Trust me on
that. Yeah, she may have a whole lot of time in her hands. Let's speak about other people that have time in their hands, which is why they're getting themselves fully loaded.
Yep. The Daytime Emmys are moving to April 26th, which is about a month or so earlier than they used to.
Almost 2 months, actually.
Almost 2 months, yes.
And you want to know something else? Do you know what bodes well to this? That's around May sweeps, right, Gordon?
I believe so, yes.
So right. I'm guessing there's going to be a TV deal. There's got to be a TV deal in this.
I've got two bold predictions for that. First, CBS is going to air it.
Right.
And two, the nominees for Best Game Show are
Ooh.
Going to be
mm-hmm.
The Price is Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's Make a Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jeopardy.
Right.
The American Bible Challenge.
Right.
And The Chase.
Wow. For myself, I'd put Price, Deal. I put Feud there. because of the ratings. Jeopardy is okay right now. They're all right. Mm-hmm. American Bible Challenge, I'm not so sure, but Chase is there too. I mean, you may have five or six.
I'm not as big a cautionary as you are, so therefore, I'm going to make some bold predictions myself.
Okay.
I think that one show that you left out is Family Feud, and I think it's going to go in there. I think Feud is in. I think Price is out.
Ooh, okay. That one, wow, that would be a tough one. Because
that would be a tough one.
Okay, so let's just let's do some nominees of hosting, by the way. So I would say Wayne Brady. I'd say Wayne Brady, Steve Harvey, Alex Trebek, those three, definitely. Drew Carey won't be there.
Wayne Brady, I think, will be there. Wayne Brady will definitely be there.
I said Drew Carey, not Wayne Brady. Wayne Brady, as I said, Wayne Brady, Alex Trebek, Steve Harvey, and I don't know if Brooke Burke will get in there, but maybe Jeff Foxworthy as well. I guess that's about it. I don't think Terry Crews has got enough to do it.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think certain people need one or two more years of seasoning before they get nominated for Emmys.
Make it three. Steve, Wayne, Brooke, Jeff, and Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Pat, if they'll let him.
Yeah.
But enough about, I don't think
we're seeing Pat.
Okay. Enough about nominees and hosting. What about nominees and hosting?
Ooh.
Okay.
So would you like to give me your whole report?
Yes.
Yes, I would. I set you up there.
You did indeed. I like the reference, by the way. In this week's media hall report, Merv Griffin's estate is up for sale at $6 million. Ken Jennings is now the name of a band. Chris Soules is the new Bachelor, and I know that Chico is trying to get after-party tickets for that show.
One word. Corn. Continue.
Ew. Robert Forsyth has his own Hall of Fame, which he created. Anita Gillette opens up her own show, and Juan Pablo Calvisa's relationship with Nikki is, well, over.
I am shocked. Shocked.
No, well, you're not. No, you're not.
I was that shocked. No.
No.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was about to say, because they were going to stay together for the children, you know.
They were.
You know,
yes, all the little Tumblr babies.
Alexander, Andrew, and don't forget Benjamin.
Yeah, oh! Ha! It took me a second, but I just got that. Okay. Benjamin is their favorite. Benjamin is their favorite.
Do it all for the children, but none of them were the host of the week.
Who are the hosts of the week?
I will just give you the first names. I'm sure you can figure out just based on that. But if you need more hints, then I will give them to you. But you must give me good guesses on these guys first, okay?
All right, okay.
So right now, we are going to start with Sandy, Arthur, Joshua, and Julia.
Stop! Who are the final 15 of Jeopardy's 2014 Tournament of Champions? Special shout-out to Ben Ingram.
That is you. All you. You got it.
Yep. And I have the listing right here. We have 6-timer Sandy Baker, 5-timer Joshua Brackage, 11-timer Arthur Chu, 20-timer Julia Collins, college champion Jim Corey, 6-timer Jared Hall, 8-timer Drew Horwood, 8-timer Ben Ingram, 4-timer Mark Topinga, 5-timer Sarah McNitt, 6-timer Andrew Moore, college champion Terry O'Shea, teachers champion John Pearson, friend of the site Rainey Peffer, and 5-timer Rebecca Ryder.
Oh, and by the way, just to let you know, Arthur Chu has made a very, very big name for himself in the Twitterverse and in the blogosphere going after all these idiots in the video game world being in Gamergate, just to let you know. Just to let you know. Fascinating mm-hmm. Twitter feed if you want to read his stuff.
Yep, so.
Right.
So. All right, do you see any favorites?
Depending on what it is.
I mean, look, you got to give Julia a favorite spot. You got to give Arthur Chu a favorite spot. But remember, tournament is a tournament. Anything can happen. And I mean, and usually does.
Yep. Again, I said Arthur Chu. I said Julia Collins. And once upon a time, I even said Sandy Baker. I'm going to stick to that. But again, a man much wiser than I once said, your skills don't mean jack. And yes, I cleaned that up.
Yeah, something like that.
That means, like, whatever you say, but let me tell you a little bit about your skills. As of right now, your skills mm-hmm. mean absolutely Richard.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Really, Chico?
So it's a good field. It's a great field, and you know it's set up that anybody of the 15 can take home everything.
I think so. I definitely think so. You know, you have more than enough good talent. You got to remember, all these people eventually did get a loss, so there are certain ways to handle them and to beat them. You certainly, in terms of Julia, have had 21, and in terms of Arthur, had an additional 10-plus episodes to see both of them to see what they do right and what they do wrong.
Indeed.
So I'm going to shut down the Chopper.
All right.
And what do we got coming up?
Okay, next on the big show, we have three times the fun, but first, the password is a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
With Jason Block and with Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander. You are riding shotgun with the CLW83.com, your home for WLTI Live. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 ideas that the set for Utopia can be. Like Dead Set 2 or Budweiser's new Wherever Town.
That's right. Wherever USA. Yeah, I like that.
Hey, I got an idea.
Okay.
Since The Biggest Loser spent so much time and so much money on casting well-known people instead of normal Joes like you and me, they blew the budget on casting. Why not just turn Utopia into a survival ranch?
Zombies. I like zombies.
It's a thought. Stick around. We're back after this.
This break has been brought to you by Big Brother China. Big Brother is watching you. What? Wait. He's already been doing that. What's the point of this? I don't understand. We'll think of something more clever during the show itself.
I blame the producers. Get me Edward Snowden and Julian Assange on the line.
Oh, no, just get the NSA chief here in the U.S. Oh, wait.
Wait a second.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back to this monstrosity we call WLTI Live. Thanks for being a part of our week and allowing us to be a part of yours. We got the serious bits of the show out of the way. Jason Block made sure of that. Now let's have some fun.
Okay, good.
So okay. What are we playing?
Well, I am Alan Budden. Chico is Betty White.
Actually, I changed my mind. I don't want to be Betty White anymore. I look horrible in this dress.
Fine, I play the female roles. I'll wear the dress.
Okay, you wear the dress. You should be Betty White. I'm going to be unnamed board operator. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, we're playing Pass the Password. And what's going to happen is we're going to give you a situation, and you give your opinion, but you only can use one word.
Right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Start it up.
Start us off there, sir.
I was just telling you to do that.
It's your start, Mr. Pepper.
Oh, because I'm stupid. Okay. Well, let's start with an easy one. The upcoming Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. What's the password?
The password is epic. This is some of the best. This is some of the best gathering of Jeopardy champions in history, and they've come. And some of the best champions in history have come from the last year or so. There's a real possibility that any one of them can take home the $250,000, and there's a real possibility that the three best will meet in the final, and that's gonna give you the ratings. It's going to give you the headline. And it's going to give you the money. And since it's in sweeps, all these three things are good.
The password
sort
is
of.
The password is newsworthy.
Ding.
With Arthur Chu and Julia Collins in this tournament, both the heroine and the villain going at each other. This is going to make news in the trivia sphere and in the mainstream news. I, for one, can't wait to watch. Gordon, what is your password?
My password is academia.
Ding!
There's going to be a whole lot of cerebellum shaking going on. I do say this, though. I can't wait, because it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun watching.
It really is. And, you know, Jeopardy is always fun watching, last Monday's episode notwithstanding. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
This is going to be good. Okay, next up, The Price is Right. From the people who brought you the Verizon guy and the Liquid Plumber guy comes the next advertising showcase, Catalina, the Chicken of the Sea Mermaid. The password is...
I love Gordon's answer. Did you want me to save that one for last?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we always do a written version of the show before we go on. And so the password for me, since I think if I use either of those, it will not be for a PG audience. So the password is censor, as in I'm censoring myself.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Well, okay, I think this is a word. The password is over-commercialization. I think that's a word, yes?
Ding.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can also add a backup password of uninspired. I understand what they're trying to do, is put a commercial within a commercial within a commercial. And this is what, and Gordon, we've talked about this from a... business perspective, this is what you do in the 21st century. It just feels very round peg into square hole. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where I'm coming. You know, it's cute. I mean, we've had four of them. You forgot the Jimmy Dean son, by the way.
I did forget about that one. Yes.
Okay. So that's been there too. So you know, it's. It's over. It's a little too much. That's all.
Well, along that same route, the password is bankroll.
Mm-hmm.
You're living in the age of DVRs and streaming videos, and The Price is Right is not going to pay for itself. It never could. But when you're fast-forwarding through all these commercials, you need a way to make money. You need to make money for the company. Hence, so many company shows over the past few weeks. Because The Price is Right don't pay for itself. It's like the Problem Shows Clearinghouse Prize Patrol reads, only with a nicer... I'm going to get in trouble if I finish that sentence, so let's just move on.
She's got
okay,
a very...
So, well, let me just say it from my standpoint. She's got a nice set of wallpaper.
Okay.
This is bedroom wall calendar material.
She was very, very. She was a very, very, very nice fish. Yes.
Yes. We got to break this. Jesse Joyce is actually taking Artie Lang's spot on tonight's at midnight.
Okay. There you go. Good. Cool. But from earlier from the, what was that, the Are You Smarter Than, earlier on the show. Okay.
Continue.
Alright. Well, so, next one. Idiot Test gets renewed for another season of fun and testing idiots. The password is...
The password is logical.
Ding.
Not just for the game itself, but also for GSN. This is a really dirt cheap show to produce. It gets decent enough ratings, and it's very entertaining. Pair it up with The Chase. You have smart people show, smart-ass people show. Put it together. That's a Tuesday night right there. That is a
Tuesday. Well, I'm not going to, I don't know if I'm going to go as far as you are since I'm a little bit jaded. The password is budget.
Ding.
It is a very cheap show to produce. I am not as big of a fan of it as you are. It's a fun show. It's okay. But again, very cheap. The ratings are decent. It makes sense to renew the show.
The password is idiot proof. Ding,
ding, ding.
Because as you both have said, this was a no-brainer decision for GSN to do. The ratings were good, the show's cheap, and you know what, like we said, Amy Lacasso Davis, I believe her name is?
Intricasso Davis.
Intricasso Davis has been making some very, very good decisions over the last few years, and now she's got a string of hits with The Chase.
No. You're not getting away with that on this broadcast. We will have none of this. On Amy Intricasso Davis.
Fine.
Especially because the one person that stuck up for her was me. You wanted to see her gone.
Well, because at the time she didn't make decisions. Now she is.
Blah, 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 blah. She's doing good ones now.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding. Separate quarters. Come on, people.
But also, by the way, you know, again, the host is good. The host is decent. The show is good. It's very easy decision for GSN to do.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
A little bit
the
of...
season... I'm sorry?
A little
I'm
bit
sorry,
of
you go next.
Yeah. A little bit of history made last week in syndication land. Jeopardy, which has historically been the number two game show, and Family Feud, which has been a fighting number three, are tied in the ratings. The password is...
Here you go.
Password is...
Gordon, go for
yes.
it.
Yes. I didn't hear that last part.
The pass. I said for you to go for it. I didn't say anything.
Jeopardy and Feud tying in the syndication.
Oh, tie, okay.
Yeah.
The password is Ascension.
Ding.
Jeopardy is not going anywhere, but I think Family Feud will be ascending into that elite status that is shared by both Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Especially in some of the money demographics, like women aged 25 to 54. How you doing? Family Feud...
And of course, it makes sense that it would be going there, by the way.
Yeah, indeed, because, again, you look at the show, you realize what they're gearing it toward, and they're playing to that audience to the hilt. The show is currently re-upped to 2017, which will take it to the 40th anniversary season, whatever number that would be. So, you can imagine that Family Feud is either going to turn the top two into a top three, or is going to supplant Jeopardy as the number two show. Especially given that Alex Trebek may not be around much longer.
No, and I think you have to do that, you know.
And I will even make it a little deeper. The password is historical. No show with an African American host has ever done this well. Ever. Okay? This goes to show you the wide appeal of Steve Harvey and, yes, the naughty humor that's involved. But you have to give it all to Steve Harvey. And to me, again, as I pointed out at the beginning of this season, We have three major game shows with African-American hosts on the show, and I think that's an awesome thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to know something? It's about talent, not just about skin color. They're all very good. That's the difference.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? But to have all these shows do as well as they do with the hosts that they have is historical. That's my password.
Historical
okay,
indeed.
Okay.
Moving.
No, I thought Chico has not given his password.
Oh, my password is respect. For all the reasons stated.
Okay.
All right.
All right, next one. The postseason impact of any of the viewers, of any of the voice singers this season.
The password is Pandora. Because that's where they're all headed.
You're a nicer Pandora man than I am. My password is YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the only way they'll be getting any popularity after this season.
The password is zero, as in none, as in no way, as in while the show may be hot, The Voice has had zero impact on the music industry ever. Okay.
And I don't see any artist here that's good enough for that to start happening now.
Yeah. Now, a few of them are going to go on tour afterwards with other lesser-known artists. Caroline Glaser, how are you doing? But get ready for Life with No Airplay.
And the thing is that it's a very interesting dichotomy, Gordon, and you could talk about that as someone who has seen American Idol for so many years. American Idol still has a musical impact and a recording impact. The Voice and it's been on, 4 years now, I think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Has not had one breakout artist. Zero. None. It's insane, the dichotomy of great show, no success. You know what I'm saying?
And on the other hand, you have a fair to middling show, killer successes.
Mm.
Although I haven't heard from Caleb Johnston yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Haven't heard from him yet. Was he waiting on?
All right. Last one.
Last
the
one
password
is...
Last one is mine.
Okay, that's yours. Okay.
The password is November 5th election results.
Okay!
I think I'm going to let Jason go first.
The password is finally.
You know what? Let Jason feel this way. He hasn't felt this way since 1994.
Not 1994.
I mean 1996. I'm sorry.
Hey! Look, but I do agree with Chico, your potential static, a potential password.
My password is static for three reasons. One, if you honestly think it's going to change anything from one way to another, you know, like you're living in North Carolina, you know, so the last 4 years there was a hard right turn instead of a straight and narrow turn. But you think it's going to change anything? It's not. Number two, that's all I heard afterwards from talking head after talking head after talking head was a bunch of static and a bunch of spin. And as The Atlantic reported, spin is dead. Although you could argue that on WLTI Live, spin was never alive to begin with. And three, I rather would have watched that on my TV screen than what anyone else had to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm done.
Chica, Gordon, what's your password?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your Gordon? Password?
That was weird. Did we just get cut off?
No.
You're still on.
Okay.
You're still live, my friend. Your password.
All right. The password is Canada.
Because
that's where WLTI will be next week.
No, it will not. Look, remember I said I was going to Canada in 2008 and 2012. It's a running gag. We're not going anywhere. This is the greatest country in the world, no matter if the fact that people spent $4 billion on the elections this year. No joke.
Okay.
Oh, my point is that money should have been well spent in any other place to fill in the gap of problems that are being caused.
Indeed. I'm just going to say one thing and leave it at that. The big winners out of Tuesday night's elections, special interests, and the ultra-wealthy. That's it.
That's what I have to say about both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, let us break for a commercial, and then we come back. We'll have more Game Time fun.
Equal time for third parties. We're doing threesies next.
Ah, okay.
Woo-hoo.
Right after this word from Wipeout, the zombie run. It's your favorite obstacle course show with one special ingredient, the rotting corpses of the undead.
They actually do have something like that called the zombie run, which I know a few people have actually done.
I think we should do the zombie run. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Friend of mine, a friend of the program, or listener to the program, by name of Zoe, she actually did the zombie run and twisted her ankle on it.
Ouch.
Apparently it's that hardcore.
But you said we're going to do some threesies?
Well, we're going to do a little bit of trios. How do you like that?
All right, let's do it.
All right, first things first. The detective, the house husband, or Superman?
This sounds amazingly like another show, which I'm assuming that you're going to tell us the players and who they play in this case.
Yes, I will. The detective is Seamus Dever from Castle. The house husband is Boris Kojo from The House Husbands of Hollywood. And Superman is Dean Cain from Hit the Floor. These three people are going to face off against the Beast when the chase returns next week. Who gets the MVP and why? You think I'm serious? Let me laugh even harder. No.
Well, I mean, because of what I think, I mean, I know they're going to get some charity, aren't they?
They have to. I mean, you know, to leave with nothing on a charity episode is kind of a frat move, bro.
Yeah, but...
Well, they don't have to, but they almost certainly will.
Right, and you know what, for me, I agree with you. I'm going off the board and saying the Beast chomps him up, spits him out for breakfast. Even though Dean Cain, I believe, went to Harvard or some...
No, he went to Princeton.
Princeton, one of the Ivy League places. So, you know, if I was going to give it a shot, it would be, if the celebrities, it would be Dean Cain, because I think he's a pretty smart guy.
He is a pretty smart guy. I think he's a pretty smart guy. Boris is a game show fan. I've never seen much of Seamus. I'd give it, you know, if I had a choice, I'd give it to Dean, but really, I think I'm going to see a reprise of the Text Santa episode from last year.
You should.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. And
all right.
I imagine that they're all going to get shipped to the WLTI Live Losers Lounge Couch.
I think that we need to have the Losers Lounge Couch in effect, because I think the Beast is going to eat all three of them for lunch.
And do you know what they say about the WLTI Losers Lounge Couch? You know what the number one rule is. You can sleep on it, you can toss the pillows to one side or the other, you can fight Jason for the remote, but you cannot hog the Krispy Kremes and Izzy soda.
There you go. And it's Izzy, but Izzy is a H to the Izzy and all that stuff, you know?
Yes, sir.
Very much so.
Okay, next up is Gordon.
Next one. Dream Car Week, Big Money Week, Millionaire Celebrity Week. Which one of those three is going to give out the most amount of money?
Can I just say big money, money, big money, money, money?
No.
Nope.
No, hey,
shut up, kid.
Big money, money,
shut
big
up,
money, money,
kid.
Money.
Shut up.
No, it's going to be the one that we saw another Dream Car Week when you had two cars that were total for about, what was it, 80,000 and 60,000. It's 140 right there. It's Dream Car Week.
As I say somebody gets a Plinko chip in the sensor pod worth $200,000.
They're going to do $1 million Plinko.
They are going to do $1 million Plinko.
No kid.
Well, one of the things that I've been hearing through the pipeline is a whole lot of money to have to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Which I think you can do.
Yeah. You know how much money is up for grabs next week? $2 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
The stakes are higher. The bank is bigger. The whole celebrity thing you got to think about. Yeah, it's going to be big money week.
What celebrity thing? What is it? Is it China?
Billionaire celebrity week.
Well, yeah, but, you know. But I still think it's going to be Price is Right in some way or another.
That's what I just said. And one more thing Gordon brought up. $175,000 rat race.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So in other words, 150 and 25?
Correct.
Whoa! That's not bad. That's not...
No, not at all.
That is the Family Feud money.
Okay.
Yes, that would be the Family Feud money.
Okay.
Next one.
The Game Plane, Family Game Night, and Celebrity Name Game. You know the party is over when the drunk girl starts hitting on you. So which one of these parties does our drunk girl hit up first? Just while you're answering this question, just picture the late, great Polly Bergen singing The Party's Over in your head.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
Well, for me, I could see two of them going. Do I have to pick one?
You got to pick one.
Then if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to say Celebrity Name Game. Because I think that particular show is going to be a one-and-done sort of thing. So I see Celebrity Name Game. Gonzo, see ya.
Yeah, I don't want to say Gonzo, but I can easily see the teachers, if any, get put on the podium. I could see them being policed out or zapped out.
Okay. But you have another idea, don't you, Gordon?
No, not really.
Okay.
But I've got the next trio.
Hold on. Hey, Chico hasn't spoken yet.
Okay, Chico, go Chico.
Okay, now Celebrity Name Game has, you know, it's fair to middling. It's very extremely modest, but it's getting numbers in the demos of like women aged 25 to 54. But if they can find a pilot that they're ready to sell, I imagine that Celebrity Name Game is going to be on the way out come May. But the show that's in bigger danger, if you ask me, is Family Game Night. Because right now, if you look at the game plans for Discovery Family, which is incredibly pony-centric, and, you know, full of reruns of past Discovery Channel shows, I don't see where Family Game Night fits into those plans. And I don't think Discovery Family does either.
We shall see.
So I hope I'm wrong, but this might be it for Todd of the game.
I don't think you're wrong. I think this may be the American Idol farewell party for Family Game Night.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day. Okay.
I don't want to know where that's from.
That's The Party's Over by that, who is that lady I mentioned earlier? Polly Bergen.
Okay. Next one, please.
Next one, Gordon.
John Rocker, Jimmy Johnson, Brad Culpepper. We've seen some great celebrity survivor performances. These were not one of them from any of those three people.
No.
Which of them was the worst Survivor player ever?
John Rocker. He had a strategy, but he couldn't execute it, and he couldn't shut up about it. If you have a strategy, you gotta execute it, and you gotta be on the fly about it. That's how you play Survivor. That's how you win Survivor.
Right.
John Rocker was just... He didn't read from the book of how to make friends and influence people.
He wouldn't even know if the book... Number one, he wouldn't know where the book was. Two, I don't think he knows how to read it. And three... okay. And three, he's a dumbass. I'm sorry. John Rocker is your guy. Look, Jimmy Johnson was a bump on a log. Okay, yes, we know this. And Brad Culpepper
and here's what I'm going to disagree with you. Jimmy Johnson did nothing. You can make a carved replica of him, James admitted the idols from over the years on, and say, he's bet the house. Well, he hasn't. So, no,
you chalk that up to physicality. He was just not physically fit for the game. Why they chose him, I have no idea. But and Culpepper, for all the crap we give him, actually played a semi-decent game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to me, John Rocker was awful. It's like, hey, I'm a racist, let's go! You know, boom, there you are.
Hey,
look at me! I'm a racist, misogynistic douchebag!
Yes, there you go! Vote for me! What?
There you go.
Vote now! Yeah, but that's pretty much it. Okay.
Okay, before we entrap Gordon into defending John Rocker on anything, let's move on.
Okay, this one's yours.
This one's mine. A trip to Las Vegas, a trip to Hawaii, and a trip to New York City. It is sweeps time, which means it's time to go on the road and bring the show to the people. So what's the most exciting trip that your game show can take?
I am going to pull a Homer pick here and say New York City, because I will tell you why. New York City audiences are the most energetic, the loudest, and the most fun. See all the shows that have been in New York, and all the shows that have it, there's a different vibe to it. While I love Hawaii, and believe me, Gordon, we loved Las Vegas. Trust me, we did. New York is the place to go.
New York is a fantastic place to go.
New York is
really, really, really good.
What about you, Chico?
New York is a wonderful place to go. Las Vegas is just... New York is a... Just this, there's an energy about New York. There's a swagger. There's a vibe, and you can feel it through any show that ever taped there. It's just something about the place. Las Vegas, you gotta have the same thing, but it's on a smaller scale if you think about it. And
right.
Hawaii, well, you have to be very dedicated to follow a show to Hawaii. It's a really nice place. Which has to be very dedicated. Give me New York City.
Okay.
I vote for Sharknado and Groot. Groot coming over and destroying Sharknado, but not before Sharknado destroys everything that's left.
There is going to be a Sharknado 3, from what I'm...
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
As what? It should. The first two made money. Why not make a third?
Hey, why not?
You know,
sci-fi groups, there's a market for crap. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
All right, next, I think I got the last one.
Yes, you do.
Last one. The Ninja Warrior. The Chamber. Classic Deal or No Deal. Let's just say that you had your own big money week. Your house would be first prize. So therefore, you don't want anyone to hit the grand prize in any of those shows. Which of these shows would be the safest place to make that wager?
Oh, this is easy. absolutely easy. Ninja Warrior. No winner in how many seasons, Gordon? Zero.
18,000, and not to mention the fact that it's close.
Yes, exactly.
Like, no one's close.
Yes.
Nobody's close. I was like, if I remember correctly, 2,800 runs, maybe 2,900 runs, and it's only been completed, what, 3 or 4 times?
Yeah, it's not very good.
Nope.
That's a safe bet. That is an absolutely safe bet.
Yeah.
All right.
I may have to make it a little bit harder, but yeah, that's a safe bet.
So we will be going now from here over to the speed round, but not before we hear from from our sponsors, as this break has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Oakland O for O's. Stays crispy even in milk, and don't forget a side order of New York Jets' #1 noodles, where one win is not only tasty, but the fans telling you that your #1 takes a whole new meaning.
Don't drink the yellow milk. That ain't banana, my friend.
Oh, boy.
That's probably the Oakland Gatorade.
Ew. But Gordon and Chico, you said it's a speed round, so let's do it now.
All right.
Survivor, who's the first out of the merged tribe?
You mean as in the one that did not quit?
Right, but the one that's not merged but will be soon.
Okay, bye, Kelly.
Yep, bye, Kelly.
Yeah, she's got no cover. We haven't talked about Dancing with the Stars this week. Who leaves?
Tommy Chong.
Yeah.
Dave's not here, man.
No, he's too old, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I think he's living on borrowed time. How are the kids doing Millionaire's List this week?
I think they do really well. You know, kids are really intelligent, probably more intelligent than some adults. And I guess one of them goes to classic cooking.
I hope so. I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
I'm going to think that a few do. Any email?
I have email. Yep, we still get email, folks. WLTI@GameshowNewsNet.com. And, Gordon.
Yes.
Your friend is back.
Would that be identity withheld?
That would be identity withheld.
Oh, joy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so today is October 27th, and I'm just watching your show. The question to three guys asked was, in the game of Sorry, how many cards were dealt to start the game? They chose 5 for the multiple choice answers, which happens to be correct, but they were told they were wrong. Sorry doesn't use cards. Ha, today's the last day I watch your show.
Oh, boy.
Gordon, rebuttal?
Yes. We'll do a couple of things here. #1, we are not related to any programming on Game Show Network, nor do we claim that we want to be, nor do we want to be at this point. And #2, you're probably watching Idiot Tests, and you clearly are failing the exam.
And #3, Sorry still does use cards, so I don't know what you were playing, but it wasn't Sorry.
Sorry!
Maybe you should try Candyland. Maybe Candyland's more of your speed. How about that?
Yes.
Oh, there's nice little pictures.
Or mumbly.
However, if you want to send us an email, follow us on Twitter. We are WLTI on GSNN. Chico is the chairman. I am GSNN Haterade.
No, Dino R. Alexander. And Jason is Dino R. Alexander. That's my Twitter thing.
Very nice.
And mine is @BeatTheBlock. Can we just do some quick pluggings here, or just about some?
Yeah, plug away. Go do some plugging.
I will do some plugging. We just finished the BS Big Show talking about week 9 and our mid-season awards. Tomorrow night we will be recording episode 349. Of the North American Wrestling Connection, and hopefully we're going to do a double shot of Pixel Nation this weekend, talking about the regular news and the 1 year anniversary of the Xbox One and the PS4. We also had an election night special for Red State Blue State, And you can hear all those programs and all the other stuff that you can hear on Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, where you can get it at the Google Play Store or at your iTunes Store. And you can hear it at CLW83.com. So close it out.
All right.
Well, that ends our episode. Special thanks once again to Jason Block for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
So next week, we're going to give people more fun as we head towards Thanksgiving. Some people are going to find things to be thankful for. The other ones are going to be thankful that this broadcast is only heard on the CLW83 network. So this week, for Chico, this is Gordon saying game over and spread the love.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.